Hi, this is Sander Roscoe Wolf, culture agent columnist for LB Post, and I'm here with
R. Scott.
And we're talking about your new album,
right?
Which is called
Mad Forms and Twisted Poses.
And it's been a while since your last album came out. How long ago was that?
It's been about almost 2 years to the day. Well, give or take a month.
Right, right. Yeah. And how did this one? What was the impetus?
It's kind of a reflective time in my life, and the last album was kind of dark and macabre. It had a sense of humor to it, but it was a dark sense of humor. So this one kind of came about, let's do a flip side of that one, you know? Maybe more free association with the lyrics, not so much a story, but at the same time a story that people can kind of piece together if they'd like. So that's...
Yeah, I definitely noticed that, you know, even though there's in the lyrics, there's a little bit of perhaps angst, but it's
right.
also really contrasted by a lot of what I consider to be sweetness. I think it's a really beautiful, beautiful album.
Well, thanks, man.
Yeah, it's was that something that came naturally to you? I mean, I think that was
yeah. The songs are pretty biographical, you know, really. So it was cathartic, I guess you could say. It was really a cathartic kind of process. Though a couple of the songs were written even before the first record, you know, Snake Oil, whatever. It all told the same story. You know, it made sense together, so I put them in there.
Nice, nice. And did you record it mostly here, or you did part of it here and part of it in the studio, or how did that
kind
work?
Kind of all around the place, you know. But actually, the actual tracking for the release was done up in L.A. at a place called Mysterious Mammal. Yeah, a friend of mine has a really nice studio up there. We did the first record together, and I said, let's do it again, because we had good results, so, you know. And he and I kind of had an idea going in what was going to happen, you know. You know, pre-production meetings and all that funny stuff.
And in addition to your core group of musicians that you play with regularly, there were a number of additions to the album as well, including a choir.
Right. Well, I play every Sunday at the St. Joseph's Catholic Church over here on Willow in like the Los Altos area, Long Beach. And I just had an idea. I've got to capture this. I've been doing this for 5 years now. We should document this. This should be part of the process, you know. I actually used the singers at the 12:30 Mass that I used to play. I don't play there anymore. But I just thought it would give it a nice touch, you know, to add that element, you know, because it's been such a part of my life.
So did you record that track at the church?
We actually did, yeah. Matt Lynch, who was the producer, co-producer, came down with his mobile stuff and just set it up and figured it's the best way to do this, you know. And we played a piano track that I had already recorded, and then they sang to it. I had to chart out the choral part, four-part, you know, thing. It was quite a challenge. And I was even conducting at a point, and I was like, wow, I have a new respect for that, because that's the first time I'd ever done it, so...
Oh.
It was pretty, yeah, it was a nice experience.
And how did they receive it? Were they really open and like...
They were very excited, because it's mostly a senior, you know, senior choir, and they were just like, some of them wanted to do this their whole life and never had the chance to, you know, so it was just, they had a real exuberance about it, so that was great to see, you know.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was a good experience.
It's a beautiful, beautiful track, too. I mean, it has such a... When the singing comes in... It's,
right.
It's great.
Yeah, I just figure it's a dramatic, fitting ending to, you know, all this kind of emotional duress that goes on, you know, prior to that in the record. So,
right.
Yeah,
it's and you have a couple of other musicians as well, don't you?
Yeah, Rebecca Lynn's on it. She played all the violin parts.
Right.
I had her coming in, and she doubled up some stuff and kind of created a section, you know, like a string section with just one violin, which was great. And, well, Nick is playing bass, but he's in the Carnival Kings. And Mike Resnick came in and played some saxophone. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of... Phil plays a very lyrical style, so I wanted to kind of bring some fresh sound in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out really good.
Good. Now, let's go back a little bit.
Okay.
You started playing how long ago? I mean,
I've been playing in bands since I was 16, so we won't say how long ago that was. But long enough ago.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, you know, like Helmut Stein was a band that played around Long Beach a lot and kind of got a little notice. And
right.
Even back to Nashville People's Gang, played with them for a little bit.
Oh, that's
went
right.
Went on the road with them.
With Anthony. That's
Anthony
right.
And yeah. Chad and Dio. Great. That was so much fun doing that.
I remember, yeah, that was a great band.
Yeah, yeah, they were fantastic. I was a fan before I even got involved, so they mm-hmm. said, hey, you want to come along as a sound man? Sure, because Anthony and I were in the sound program at Golden West College, sound engineering program. So I met him, got to be close, and all that stuff. That was just great.
And so then, was Helmet your first, like, real, like, your own thing?
I would say that was probably the first time I really stepped up and could take the role of band leader and kind of started writing, you know, all the songs. And, yeah, it was a challenge, but it was good.
Yeah, songwriting is an interesting process. You know, I think sometimes it's easy to sort of intellectualize it, and sometimes it's easy to get overly emotional.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. It's an extreme thing. Yeah.
Right. It's kind of hard to find that balance, you know.
Yeah. And
I think that's one of the things that I really appreciated in this current album is that it felt really honest.
Good.
You know?
Good. So. Yeah. That's what we were hoping for. Yeah. Yeah.
So then after Helmet, or was this concurrently with Helmet, you wound up in 00 Soul, right?
Actually, 00 Soul was happening before I put Helmet Stein together. And I think Helmet Stein, it kind of became a reaction to 00 Soul, because 00 Soul does something, one thing really, really well, which mm-hmm. is dance music, you know, club music, whatever. But I needed to do something besides that, you know, to mm-hmm. feel like I was really doing what I wanted to do artistically, I guess.
Right.
Not getting too myopic, but so yeah, I had all these songs building up, and I was like, well, I gotta do something with it, you know. So put an album together and call it some goofy name, you know.
So the band 00 Soul, there's really just a main writer person for that band?
No, actually that band, I would say it was collective. At that time, Ian Yater, the guitar player, he would come up with a lot of riffs, you know, and then we would sit in the room and play off that riff for 10 minutes, sometimes 20 minutes, whatever it was. And somebody would say, hey, you know, let's try this. And I'd throw in a little keyboard line, and a sax or a trumpet would play something, and somehow we created songs like that, you know. Kind of Gary Tesh, actually, DJ Gary, was very good at listening to everything, recording everything, and then kind of chopping it up, saying, this would go here, this would be good here, you know.
Interesting. So
we found a process that worked for the band, yeah, mm-hmm, definitely.
Well, that's cool. I mean, so everyone was really able to contribute.
Oh yeah, everybody pretty much had an equal part in the writing. But that's why the output might have been a little less than a lot of bands, you know. Mm-hmm. But still, you know, the quality remained, I think. At least I hope.
And they've sort of come back together a little bit now, haven't they, recently?
Well, they never really stopped. They just got some new players in, but they kind of had to take breaks because people would come and go. You know, they had a trumpet player after Hank left. And he was a good trumpet player, but he wasn't really the perfect fit for the band, so they were kind of frustrated with that, so they took a little time off. Then Ian left for a while. He just kind of got tired of it. And they got another guitar player. Then I think he came back, and then, you know, it was just that whole thing, like, kind of people coming and going.
Right. But, and are you now playing with him again?
Yeah, we've been playing. My involvement's been about 2 years now with him again, and we've had a good time. We've played a lot of good shows. But, you know, it's just kind of, it's more like, let's just take it when we want to play. It's mm-hmm. not like we're charging after something, you know.
Right. And you guys did a show at Downtown, right? That was not that long ago?
Yeah, we played that Funk Fest that Bob Houston put on.
Right. And how did that go?
It was good. We got there and they were still putting the stage up and stuff, you know. We were kind of early. But once the set got going, people said we were on fire, so we had a good time.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, did you stay for the whole thing, or did you leave?
I stayed. I had actually a gig with New Fidelity later that night. It was like a friend's party reunion, a mod reunion party. Mm-hmm. So I stayed until about 6:30.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, later on, it was like the whole little two-stage area.
Oh, right,
it was
right.
Packed tight.
Yeah, I heard it was pretty insane.
Yeah, it was totally crazy.
I heard Charles Wright kind of stole the show.
Yeah, well, it was just fantastic. It was, I think it felt like they were pumping oxygen into the room, but there was no room. It was just outside.
So, right.
And people were really, really having a great time.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was super fun. But
yeah, I know Bobby worked his tail off to get that thing going.
Right, now he's in Delta Nova.
Delta Nova, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He's pretty much the founding member.
Right, yeah. Right. So now, you mentioned New Fidelity. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
You've been with them for a while now, right?
Yeah, it's been about almost 2.5, 3 years, I think. Yeah, dates, but yeah, I'd say about looking at 3 years.
And how did that come about?
I was always a fan of Lo-Fi Champion. Mm-hmm. I just thought Dan had a really cool perspective on his writing, and they were, you know, you could whistle the tunes, you know, they were just good pop rock songs, you mm-hmm. know. I'd always go see him, and I always got a kick out of seeing him. And then they were going through changes, and then they got Sean and Phil in, and I was like, I went and saw their first show, actually, and I was like, this is where this needed to go, you know. Because now you have these really cool songs, little quirk, very catchy tunes, and now you've got a band that's really pumping it over, you know, putting it across. So, you know, then we were just friends, really, and then all of a sudden they called me up and said, hey, we're going to record, can you do it? And at the time I couldn't, because I was having some family issues and stuff, and so I was like, oh, no, I wish I could, but I can't do it. So then they called me maybe 6 months later and said, do you want to play? Would you like to do some shows? And I said, yeah, sure, I'll play some shows. And then I'd say, I don't know, a couple months within that, they were like, you want to just join the band? I'm like, sure, what the heck? It's one of those natural processes, I guess.
Right. And so then how's that been going?
Oh, it's good. We're having, you know, we've just released an EP called All Here Now. And it seems to be catching a little fire, and went up San Francisco. We just kind of touring the coast, you know, West Coast, and try to shake hands and meet people and just play good music. But it's going good, yeah.
Beautiful. And okay, we kind of jumped around a little bit, but after Helmet, what did you? There was a period after Helmet.
Dark period. No, just kidding.
You put together your second band, right? That was
The Carnival Kings,
right?
Yeah, The Carnival Kings came out of Helmut Stein, as we kind of had some problems with our lead singer in Helmut Stein was a female, April Sweeney, very talented, but she was going through a lot of personal changes, and with those changes, a lot of fire was lost. I guess let's put it in generic terms, and. She just didn't want to contribute that much, you know, stopped making rehearsals, like, I don't know, she just had a different focus.
Right, right.
So we said, oh, okay, that's okay, we'll just, you know, keep going and call it something else. So I figured Carnival King, this was kind of a made-up name because it's spelled differently, but it kind of had that New Orleans, you know, connection, definitely. Mm-hmm. So, well, we just kind of forged ahead with that.
Now, I have to give myself props for inviting you guys to contribute to that Christmas season.
Oh, absolutely. I just read about that the other day.
Oh, really?
I can't remember where, but I was like, yeah, that was Sander.
Yeah, yeah, that's that track, Christmas Time Is Here.
Right.
The rendition you guys did of it is just beautiful. It's really a standout. There's some amazing tracks on that.
Yeah,
CD.
No, I love that CD. Yeah,
I
play it Christmas time.
I forget sometimes how really nice it is. Uh-huh. But so again, thank you for that.
Thank you for that. Yeah.
It was a real pleasure having you participate. So Carnival Kings was around for a while. You guys, and that's when you kind of stepped up to being like the official singer, right?
Yeah, actually, Philip is a very good singer. He's got a nice range, nice delivery. But we figured between my kind of smoky, you know, growly voice and his higher, you know, register, more of a tenor type thing, we could, you know, we could make it work. So we didn't worry about the female as much anymore, you know. Mm-hmm. And I guess it loses a little bit in the show, the presentation of it. Mm-hmm. But it's still about the music, you know.
Right.
And it gives him a chance to write more and us to write together sometimes. And, you know, it just opens up other possibilities, so. It's been good. And we're actually, we have 5 tracks we're trying to finish up right now. So,
oh, as Carnival King?
Yeah, as the Carnival King.
Oh, right on. So, but are you doing this new material as the Carnival Kings, or?
Yeah, it gets a little. Yeah, it kind of depends. Well, you know, some people want the more R&B funk of the Carnival Kings for a gig, you know, mm-hmm. And then if they want more of the Americana soul stuff, then. We usually just mix it up, you know. Mm-hmm. We do maybe 50-50. It depends what the gig is calling for, though.
Right.
You know, if they want more of the dance music, we do straight Carnival Kings. If they want more singer-songwriter, we do my stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. So it just depends. It keeps the possibilities open for right. work, too. So.
Now, have you been doing any writing for lo-fi?
Yeah, actually, Dan's brought in a few songs, and I just brought in one that had a kind of a Motown vibe, and they were kind of pretty happy with that. So I'd say we have about, yeah, maybe 5 or 6 songs we're working on right now, currently.
That's great.
Because Dan's, I appreciate Dan because he's like me. He likes to stay creative all the time with writing, even if the ideas fall by the wayside. He just wants to keep, you know, the output coming.
You want to keep that muscle exercise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you
otherwise, it'll
lose it, kind of thing. You know,
definitely.
So I really appreciate that about him. So he's always bringing something, man. So,
that's great.
You know, my writing's not so much suited for that group, but I, you know, once in a while I'll hit on a pop kind of thing. And,
well, I mean, it's kind of fun sometimes, though, just as a writer, sometimes I think it's fun to sort of just give yourself an assignment.
Yeah.
Something you wouldn't necessarily do yourself.
Yeah, I agree.
On your own.
Right.
But, you know, when you have a band, you know, to try to imagine, well, what would be a perfect song that I could write for this particular group of people?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
I totally agree with that. Well, plus it's a good challenge for you.
Right, right. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. Very cool. So, and going forward now, you have your own bands.
Mm-hmm.
You have, I'm always getting it wrong. I want to call them Lo-Fi Champions.
Oh, New Fidelity.
The New Fidelity. Sorry.
You got me thinking Lo-Fi too.
Sorry, Dan.
Yeah.
The New Fidelity.
Right.
And, you're also doing Double O Soul on occasion as needed.
Yeah.
And anything else?
No, that's about it. That's enough for now.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, I pick up other gigs, you know, because that's what I, you know, I'm a musician. That's how I make my money. But, you know, those are the bands that I'm really playing with. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, are there any interesting side projects that you, like session projects that you've done? Or?
Well, actually, I'm playing with Pamela G, who's a great, like, blues jazz singer down in Orange County. And this just started happening about 3 months ago. But good players in that band, you know, like top-notch guys that can really just play their instrument, you know, know it inside and out. But, you know, like, I'm a hired gun for that, you know. She calls me when there's gigs and it pays well, and I say yes, I'll take the money. You
that's
know?
Great.
We have a good time. You know, she's a very, very nice woman, so I'm glad I connected with her.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And there was one group I was going to mention. I only saw one performance, but it was at the K-Sera, and it was you and Ikey Owens. He was, do you remember Band Lotto?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that night. I do remember Band Lotto.
Yep, it was a special. I think they didn't pull your names out of the hat.
Right.
I think just because both of you were there.
Oh, okay.
They said.
I think that was probably the only one of those that I actually attended because, you know, scheduling and stuff. But yeah, Band Lotto was great. Yeah.
Oh, it was fun. And I have to say, even to this day, I remember the name of the band I was in,
uh-huh.
which was George Michael Jackson Brown.
That's awesome. And did you cover?
No, it was a catastrophe.
Right.
We just were like screwing around up on stage. I think I was playing guitar and the drummer was playing bass, and I think we had Chase Frank
singing,
making up lyrics about somebody buying her a drink.
Right.
Yeah, so
that's great.
So yeah, that was really fun. But right on. Well, maybe we can retire to the other room and
Play a little bit.
Yeah,
okay, sure.
Great. Well, thanks so much.
Thanks.